Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We gonna see him soon. You feel me?
All right, welcome to another episode of the Butting Heads podcast from Rams Talk Radio. I'm Steve Ribeiro, here as always with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, the Rams are 2-0. Wasn't the prettiest game, but a win is a win, and now we are in a three-way tie for first place in the NFC West because we are not allowed to have nice things. But feels good to be winning, doesn't it?
Yeah. All things considered, it was just seconds away from being a four-way tie, but
for real.
But you know, it's good because I think this is certainly something you're gonna want to see, especially for non-divisional opponents. This is clearly one of the best divisions that the NFL has seen in many years, and the fact that they're this good, and keep in mind the only loss to this division came to the Seattle Seahawks against, you know, not a bad Tennessee Titans team. So this basically shows you that every game's going to count. So there can't be any more close calls that are losses going back to like last season where there was way too many close calls, you know, that could have easily been won. So it's good that the Rams are kind of on the other side of that note, you know, starting to win these close calls, most recently against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, there are more 2-0 teams in the NFC West than the rest of the NFC. There are more 2-0 teams in the NFC West than there are in the entire AFC. So, not a great draw. And yeah, like you said, it was Seattle barely lost that game. And, you know, the Titans, they lost in week one to Arizona, right? So, I mean, depending on how you feel about Arizona, I don't know. It is going to be an interesting season. I think there's a very, very real chance that all four of these teams make the playoffs. A lot of talent in this division. But, yeah, we're going to talk about this sloppy win, I guess, against the Indianapolis Colts here. But first, we want to say our podcast is a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Networks. Head over to Blue Wire's website and check out all their other podcasts in the feed if you want more sports podcasts. And, of course, we are presented by TickPick, the best place to buy tickets for your favorite event, for your Rams game, tickpick.com. Go check them out. We're recording this Monday night. By Wednesday, I'm not sure what the Daryl Henderson injury situation is going to look like, but I mean, I think it's a good place to start before we really get into our thoughts about the game. It's the most relevant news right now. Henderson, he suffered a rib injury in this football game. He came out near the end of the third quarter, didn't come back onto the field. But for initial reports, it doesn't seem to be too serious. The Rams are optimistic he will be able to play in week three's matchup against Tampa Bay. They're categorizing, wow, sorry guys, it's a little late here, categorizing this game as, or this injury as, a rib cartilage injury. So, Johnny, I guess first thoughts are, well, I mean, I guess we know all we know about this injury, but, let's say hypothetically he can't play, and right now it seems like it'll be a real 50-50 thing, given what we know now. How did you feel about Sony Michel in this game? He got some extended work, and I mean, if Henderson can miss this Tampa game, how drastically do you think it would affect our chances in that matchup?
Well, I think it affects it a little bit for sure. I'm not going to suggest that Darrell Henderson is, you know, the most important, you know, piece to this offense, but he is an important piece nonetheless. And behind Henderson is really what kind of concerns me, because, you know, Sony Michel, I think he's a quality backup. I think he's going to do his job, but keep in mind, this is a guy that joined the Rams really late in the offseason, as late as you could possibly get. And, you know, him trying to adjust to the Rams offensive scheme, I'm not sure if he's quite ready yet. We forget that even the rookies have had more experience with this offense than Sony Michel has. He might be a veteran, but it's still, you know, a learning process for him too. Now, I do think that from what I saw in the game, that he had his moments where, you know, he could get some pretty good yardage here and there. But he also had his moments where it's just looked like he just ran into a brick wall. So I think I'm fairly confident that Sony Michel can at least fill the void. You know, I may not have the same success as Darrell Henderson, but I think that he can do a serviceable enough job. And just by how this offense is ran, it's not the same type of offense where the Rams are reliant completely on the running back in terms of, like, especially the passing game. Yeah, you know, Darrell Henderson was out there, you know, catching the football as well. But with all the weapons out there and weapons that we haven't even really seen yet, I think that the Rams will be okay offensively. But yeah, I'm fairly confident in Sony Michel. Behind him, though, that's where I'm a little concerned, because then you're basically going to ask Jake Funk to step up and play that backup role. And that's a lot to put on a rookie, especially, you know, one that wasn't expecting to get a lot of in-game action, at least not on from running back position.
Yeah, and to shore up that rotation, they signed Javian Hawkins to the practice squad. Javian Hawkins, for those who don't know, he was an undrafted free agent for the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of people thought he might have a chance to compete for carries there. He got cut by them, signed with the Titans, also cut by the Titans, and that was all this year. So you're not too optimistic about that signing, and I am completely aligned with you on Jake Funk. But I will say this, with I think Sonny ran very well in the fourth quarter of this game. He had some, he picked up some crucial first downs for us late in that fourth quarter when we kind of fed him the rock. I mean, this guy didn't really play until the fourth quarter, and he had 10 carries. So they gave him a lot of work, and I thought he made the most of it. You know, if you look at the snap counts, he played 16 snaps. He got handed the ball off on 10 of them. So a lot of work in limited time, and I think he played well. I think he was contributed to this victory. Do I think he played better than Darrell Henderson? No, absolutely not. And I think that, yeah, if Henderson isn't healthy, your odds of winning the game go down, albeit not by a lot. But they'll certainly feel the impact of that loss. But even though it's a tough matchup against Tampa Bay, you want all the help you can get. Given Henderson's injury history, I don't want to play him if there's any chance that he could re-aggravate that injury. You know, if it's really just pain tolerance kind of thing, then yeah, sure, play him, see what happens. But if there's any chance of re-injury, let the guy get to 100%. You know, Michelle played well enough where I don't think you need to trot Henderson out there in this game. And Tampa Bay, if we are going to beat Tampa Bay, it's going to be through the air. So, you know, they have a really good run defense this year. They bottled up the Cowboys in week one. They bottled up the Falcons in week two, although I don't know how much that means to people bottling up that rushing attack. But it's one of the better run defenses in the NFL. And, I mean, that's not going to be your game plan in this game anyways. I think Michelle played well enough to where I feel pretty good if he is the guy getting the carries. I'd feel better if it was Henderson, but I'd rather have Sony Michelle be the starter than a not 100% Daryl Henderson in this game for sure. Because of how much they're playing Henderson, the guys behind Michelle aren't going to play anyways, but obviously if there's an injury, we're going to be in a lot of trouble in that case.
Yeah, rib injuries are pretty tricky as well, you know, and that's why it surprised me a little bit that they were optimistic that he was going to play in week three. You know, that's not typically a timeline you see unless it's like, I don't know, like bruised ribs or something like that, you know, just the outer portion. But in his case, it's like the cartilage. So I'm no doctor, so maybe that's more or less serious. I'm not really sure, but you don't want to mess with the ribs too much. I mean, he's constantly getting hit in that area, so may want a little more time to recuperate there.
Yeah, and if you play him, you can't give him the workload you've given him in the first two games, snap count wise. You got to mix in Sony in there. You know, he looked good. He looked pretty good in this game. He's not Daryl Henderson, but he played really solid, and I mean, he averaged more yards per carry. Historically, he's kind of been non-existent in the passing game, but part of that might be due to the fact that the Patriots have James White, who is like the literal most useful pass-catching back of the last decade.
That's for sure.
Yeah, so they're not. Nah, they weren't looking to throw him the ball. So, I don't know. I think if Henderson plays, unless somehow Friday he is absolutely 100%, I personally would either sit him or play him on a limited basis unless he somehow miraculously gets to full health. But I feel good enough in Sony that you don't need to play Henderson in this game. And even if they trot out Michelle, they sit Henderson, and that ends up being the difference maker, it's fucking week three, man. Like, there's no point of putting that much risk on the line with Henderson if you don't have to.
But still, I really want a victory over the Bucks.
I would love a victory over the Bucks, and I feel good about that matchup no matter which one of them plays, honestly.
And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, Johnny, but first, Rams football is finally back. I mean, we're 2-0, and we got to get to some of these games, man. This team is on fire. I want to be at these games, but buying tickets is hard, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find your Rams tickets anymore, because TickPick, TickPick, all one word, is the original no-fee ticket website and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NFL tickets. Because we all hate fees, right? Every website's got these hidden fees. But TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other websites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all their NFL tickets. And if you don't believe it, because, hey, I didn't believe when I first read this, if you could find a better price for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. So they're going to give you even more money if you find a better deal here. I mean, it's crazy. They are so confident in their service that they're going to give you a 110% of the difference in a purchase price if you could find a better deal. You guys know I'm over here on the East Coast. I'm a displaced Rams fan. Luckily, the Rams are flying across the country in a few weeks to take on the New York Football Giants, and I'm planning on getting tickets to that game. And of course, I'll be using TickPick. So I'm going to be getting the same deal that I'm giving you guys right now. You head over to TickPick.com/RTR and use our promo code. Again, RTR, same promo code, RTR, just the three letters, all caps. You're going to save $10 on your first pair of Rams tickets using TickPick.com. Every penny counts, guys. We all know the Rams, they're never losing again. So you're going to want to attend every football game you can go to, and you're going to want to avoid all those hidden fees and get the best price you can using TickPick. Again, TickPick. Let's talk about the Colts. A 27-24 victory for the Rams, and boy, did they make it as dramatic as they possibly could. They're throwing snaps off of Nick Scott. They're getting intercepted. They're playing a very leaky defense. They had a bend don't break mentality on defense in this game, but they certainly broke quite a few times. But still, a win is a win, and there's a lot of things to be concerned about coming out of this game, and I think we will have a lot of those concerns answered in next week's matchup against Tampa Bay, who is a really good football team and the defending champs. But I think because the Colts lost last week, because they're not a sexy team, I think it's easy to forget that they are still a good football team. Not a great one, but I would say they're probably in the top half of teams in the league. I'd have to really chart them out, but I feel pretty good in putting them there. And so yeah. It to me, it's not like there are things to be concerned about. It's really on defense for me in this game. But it was a win that they toughed out. They faced a lot of adversity, and they didn't fold. They lost a lead late in the game. Their running back got injured. They didn't have him out there, and they just roared down the field for two straight drives at the end of this game to put it away. It would have been nice if they never gave it away, but overall, I feel like there's more positive things in this victory than negative things.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. There are more positives, but the negatives are something to be concerned about. I do like the fact that, especially as Steve mentioned, towards the end of the game, when it counted, you saw both sides of the football. These two sides really knew how to, either lock them down offensively, defensively, and then just drive the ball downfield like effortlessly.
I gotta say this. Early on in this game, the defense made a lot of great plays, and they did at the end of the game. They were in the process of blowing this game, and they got handed a fucking gift when Carson Wentz got hurt. The game was over as soon as Jacob Eason walked out of the field.
Pretty much. There's absolutely no question there. But I was actually astonished seeing this, the Rams offense, it was amazing to see that this offense step up, and you'd never know that this offense struggled at all if you based it on that, last touchdown drive by the Rams. It looked like Matthew Stafford was like, okay, I think I got to play seriously now, and then he just slung it out there. The receivers actually caught the football, and it was so effortless, and it's nothing like I've ever seen in a recent Rams team, where you see him take the field and you just automatically are confident that they can score, whereas in the past it's like, damn, I don't know if the Rams are going to dig themselves out of this. And, the whole putting themselves in this scenario is it can't happen to, a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But hopefully they'll iron that out. Uh, I'll, I'll try and chalk this up as you know, kind of rust, you know, shaking out and making things work on special teams, especially because it was not so special teams last year. This year kind of spoiled it, spilled in a little bit, but you know, I think all in all, I am very happy with what I saw, and in certain parts of the game, it's just they can't have that at all against certain teams, and certainly not against the Buccaneers. Otherwise, it's going to end up in an L.
Yeah, and I agree. You can't do this against Tampa next week. Although last year's Tampa Bay, every game we've had against Tampa Bay has, the last three have just been fucking bizarre as hell. Some of the most bizarre matchups I've watched the Rams play in recent years have all been against Tampa. I mean, we had the Tavon Austin game. We had the Hurricane game. We had the Jared Goff 500-yard, 55-41 loss. And we had the game last year where Tom Brady just decided to turn into not Tom Brady in the fourth quarter. I don't have any jokes there. But it was so encouraging to me to see. It wasn't encouraging to see the Rams go three and out, three drives in a row, and allow an Indianapolis touchdown and then give up the fumble punt touchdown, which was obviously unacceptable. But as soon as we lost the lead, if you follow me on Twitter, I posted the Matthew Stafford comeback meme, which is truly an all-timer. And we just score in four plays, a four-play, 70-yard, two-minute drive. I mean, that just to me felt so good. You know, they showed a really unfair graphic to Matthew Stafford in this game, talking about next week's matchup, where it showed his playoff wins against Tom Brady, and Tom Brady had like 31, and Matthew Stafford had zero. But this guy, it's clearly not his fault that the team didn't have playoff success, because he's a gamer, he's clutch as hell, and he never quits. And like, if you're the quarterback for the Detroit Lions for 12 years, you cannot have an ounce of quit in you, and this guy clearly doesn't. And, you know, he had the interception this game. He showed he was human a little bit, but him and Cooper Kupp were the reasons we won this game. They are absolute monsters. Stafford was slinging it. Kupp was making incredible plays. And would I have liked to have not been in that position at all and just won this game in a normal way? Yeah, but I think it – ultimately, hopefully it'll be a learning experience for this team to take a little licks, and hopefully we'll come out better in next week's game. But I mean, just to speak to the positives of this game, Kupp was unbelievable, and I think Stafford is everything as advertised.
Kupp deserved the game ball in this game.
Oh yeah.
No doubt about it.
He's on his way to his first Pro Bowl. I think pretty easily this year. He might lead the league in receiving. All Stafford is doing is throwing him the ball.
Yeah. Seriously, and he is doing a lot of work after the catch. Like, it's really entertaining watching him, because you don't
Football
expect
is finally
him to have that kind
when
of
the Rams
fight,
aren't
you know?
Playing or when they're playing.
And he's just
we're all
so
looking
scrappy
for a way
and just knocking
make
down
the game
a,
more interesting, get
you know,
on the action, give us another motivation for watching this game. We look
just,
for a unique way to get on the action
it's hilarious
this season.
Watching him.
It's time to come prop
play.
Up.
It's like, damn.
Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy
is exactly
a daily fantasy sports
that the Rams
app specifically for player
like the Super Bowl run.
You're tired of doing hours of research for the best fantasy sleepers. This is probably the place for you. Thrive lets you
yes,
place
we did.
Players that actually,
yeah, I mean,
it,
you know, he thought there was Aaron Donald all the time. It's like, what else can you say,
best
man?
Of the
he's
best.
An absolute fucking
You'll be able to
beast.
Choose prop bets from top tier.
We do not win this game without him. That's for
on the
damn
game.
Sure.
And each player's
and
over under will be assigned.
I'd like
a
to see some other
guys
get involved in the offense more. Robert Woods had a decent day, but
rack up the most wins.
If Kupp's gonna keep playing like this, just throw him the fucking ball, man. What
more
needs to be said?
$4 million to its player.
So last week, if you listen to our post game show,
all our Rams
we talked a bit at length about the decision to draft
Talk Rams, all caps,
Tutu Atwell,
who
played
the
same amount of offensive snaps as I did in this game.
Deposit $50
and
more, and you'll get a 100% deposit
passing on a
up to $100. So you put in $50, you're gonna get $100. You're gonna get $200. The deal you're not gonna want to pass up.
After that game,
football back.
And you know,
and coming into our lives.
A long time listeners,
download the
know.
Thrive Fantasy app today on the App Store, Play Store.
We
visit the website
admit when we're wrong, and
sign up today. And
I think
we
were a little too hard on Brian Allen that podcast, seeing all the high grades for him in that game and some of the positives. He had some pancakes in that game. We really only talk about the negatives. And listen, man, I think he played great this week. You know, he might be the answer. I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong here. I hope this is a long-term thing. He's grading out really well on Pro Football Focus. That's not a perfect stat. Certainly useful for him, considering that was not the case in 2019. And I, you know, man, I think the line's going to be fine. After this game, I'm really, this is a good defense, and they didn't give me anything to be concerned about. Do I still think they should have taken a center instead of Tutu Atwell? Yeah. We can get to 2-2 in a sec, but we're sorry, Brian. You're having a hell of a year so far.
Well, to be fair, there was a few missed blocks on Brian Allen in the first game.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah. I think you're right in a sense that we did focus a little too negatively on his performance. Because he did have a few moments there where, you know, he looked a lot better. And I think we did mention that he did seem to improve from, you know, his debut in 2019. But, yeah, we did focus primarily on the negative aspects of it. But that being said, this game he looked even a lot better than in the first game. You know, he really didn't have a whole lot of mistakes that I noticed. You know, he had a few, but I think that's any offensive lineman. I mean, you even look at what we think is our best offensive lineman and Andrew Whitworth. He allowed a sack, which is very uncharacteristic of him. But, you know, mistakes happen, unfortunately. But even the past two games, there wasn't a ton of pressure on Stafford in either game, you know, so that's a lot more than, you know, you could really ask for, especially in an offensive line that we had no idea what to expect during the offseason. So it's nice to see that everyone's coming together. Do I think that, you know, the Rams should have went after a center? Probably, because this is a contract year for Brian Allen. Don't know what his status is going to be after this season, but it is something to keep in mind that, you know, he is in a contract year this year, so he might.
To me, he'd have to play outrageous for him to not be able to be brought back at an affordable rate. Like, he'd have to be unbelievable.
Well, it's still early. I mean, so far, so good.
It's possible, man. Stranger things have happened. But that being said, I mean, we could have brought back Austin Blythe at like $1 million and we didn't do it. So
that's true.
Yeah. Who fucking knows? Yeah. I very encouraging from him. All of the line as a whole has looked really solid. They're not perfect, but they're good enough for a quarterback with the pocket awareness and the mobility of Stafford. Only sack in this game was given by Whitworth of all people, who got smoked on that play, but it was certainly a fine game. For him, besides that, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, and I don't want to talk about this too much, but you look at the snap counts in this game. 8 Rams played 100% of the snaps, which is not usual, and Robert Woods played 98%, and Van Jefferson played 92%. So 10 of the 11 Rams in offense played 90% of the snaps. And it probably would have been 11 if Daryl Henderson didn't get hurt. The only other receivers that shifted in, and obviously the group there was Higby, Woods, Kupp, Jefferson, and a little bit of the Henderson-Michelle mix, whichever running back was healthy. Jake Funk played 3 snaps. Johnny Munt played 3 snaps. And DeSean Jackson played 3 snaps. So what the Rams are saying after 2 weeks is that they are very confident in the guys that were here last year, and they're not using their only free agent signing, basically, and DeSean Jackson, using him minimally. I would like to see him play a little more. You know, I don't think he's a guy that they should be playing 90% of the snaps by any means, but I would rather see like a 70-30 split there between Jefferson and Deshaun, just because he brings some gravity to the field. He's dangerous anytime he's out there. But also, Tutu Atwell, our second-round pick, played zero snaps. And I don't want to sit here and rag on that pick a little too much, but every week we just have to bring up just how goddamn useless of a pick that was. If you look at this team and you say, where could they use depth? Even if he's not on the team, you would look at receiver last. Out of every position on the depth chart, if you're saying what position could use another body, if let's say Tristan Jackson or Jay or Koski or Ben Skoranek were the fifth wide receiver, you would still never look at that position and say that they need depth there. I don't know if he's going to play more than 20 offensive snaps this year if nobody gets hurt. And you could say, well, yeah, they signed him to be a special teams guy, to be a gadget player, to contribute on special teams. They're still trying Cooper Kupp back out there to return fucking punts. So that's not the case. So it's just it is what it is. Is this going to ruin the team at all this year? No, but imagine if they took literally anything else at that pick. And we had another outside linebacker. We had another inside linebacker. We had another cornerback. We had another offensive lineman, obviously, which we've talked about a lot. It's just there is no point to that pick, and I don't really think there ever will be.
And, Johnny, before I let you get to Tutu, I mean, speaking of pointless players, you know, you see all these websites for sports betting and all that, and they give you a lot of bets and prop bets and all that on pointless players, but our partners at Thrive Fantasy have prop bets for the players that matter. I mean, if you're looking for a new and unique way to get in on the action during the season, you're going to want to come prop up with Thrive Fantasy this year. It is a daily fantasy sports and esports app specifically for player prop bets. So, you know, you don't need to do all your research on the fantasy sleepers. I mean, they're going to give you prop bets on the top tier players, the guys that matter. I mean, looking at some of the props they have for this game, you could bet the over-under on Cooper Kupp total touchdowns. It's 0.5. So if he scores a touchdown, you bet the over, you win the bet. I mean, that's free money right there. And you get 100 points for that based on their point system. And the more props you win, the more points you get. You hit the most props, you rack up the most points, and you win a share of Thrive's prize pool, which is usually over $140,000 in weekly prizes. They've already awarded more than $4 million overall to their players. And guys, we've got tons of promo codes here, tons of offers here with Thrive. First of all, you want to use our promo code TALKRAMS, all cap, TALKRAMS. And you're going to get a 100% deposit match up to $100, minimum $50. You put in $50, you're going to get $50 back. You put in $100, you're going to get $100 back. So you're doubling your money there. I mean, that is a literal definition of free money, guys. You're not going to want to pass up this deal. And we got even more deals for you guys this week. They got tons of contests. New users can deposit $10. They'll get a free ticket into their 15K Thursday Night Football contest. You deposit $50, you're going to get that same ticket and a free ticket to the 50K Sunday contest they've got going on. And all users, if you've already taken advantage of our deals with Thrive here, if you enter the 15K Thursday Night Football contest 5 times or enter $100 worth of prop lobby entries, you will get a free ticket to that 50K Sunday ticket as well. So all you guys, download the Thrive Fantasy app today in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit their website at thrivefantasy.com. Sign up, prop up, take advantage of these free promo codes, and let's win some money, guys. Anyways, Johnny, am I being dramatic on how useless Tutu Atwell is going to be this season?
Well, I think that the hope is eventually the offense will include both Deshaun Jackson and Tutu Atwell out there.
But does it need to?
No.
Look at how good they're playing. Pick. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question there. It was a total luxury pick. I do think that Sean McVay just kind of fantasized a little bit too much there, seeing that, you know, Matthew Stafford can actually, you know, dish the long ball out there. But I think in a way that's a good thing, because I feel like as good as we've been clamoring over this offense, I don't think we've even seen maybe we've seen a little more than half, but I don't think we've seen all of what this offense is capable of, and that's a scary thing. I think what's truly been limiting this offense, and Sean McVay himself admitted that, is his play calling, you know, and a true testament to that is seeing the lack of snaps that DeSean Jackson got. I mean, it's one thing if Tutu Atwell is sitting out there, you know, riding the bench, but it's quite another thing for DeSean Jackson, who, you know, they're paid good money to get, you know, to at least do something, you know, not to ride the bench. It's tough because obviously you have two really good receivers in Woods and Kupp, and then a young developing guy in Van Jefferson, but that's kind of what we were hoping for in Sean McVay, to open up his playbook and, you know, spread the ball out more, because while Matthew Stafford is gifted, it does him no good if he can't pass the ball to DeSean Jackson on the sideline.
Yep, I agree. And I think we will see more DeSean Jackson. I doubt there's going to be many games where he plays three snaps. I don't think we're going to see any more Tutu Atwell for the foreseeable future. And, you know, if Jackson's only playing three snaps and he's healthy, what is Atwell going to add to this offense? Like, I just don't see a use for him.
Yeah, not a damn one at the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, if our biggest complaint is about a guy not playing, things are going swell. It is an absolute delight to watch this offense play.
Says a lot about the past years, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. Feeling a lot closer to 2018 than 2019, and that's great. And that's even without having the best running back in football. So this is fun. This is a very fun team. A little too fun, though. Let's talk about this defensive performance. I do want to say, before we really get into what we didn't like on this defensive game, and it was certainly a weird performance by the defense, they made a lot of big plays. They came up clutch a lot. I mean, that goal line stand, the first drive was unbelievable. But still kind of got it taken to them. They gave 354 total yards, 245 net yards in the passing game. Although I felt like Wentz was kind of carving them up, and 109 yards in the rush running game. I will say, I think they did a really good job against Jonathan Taylor. He didn't really make an impact. He's a really good player. They have a good line. It's an impressive performance. And I mean, based on this, they should give up 6 yards against Tampa Bay's running attack. If they could do this to Jonathan Taylor, they should give up single digit yards to their fucking pitiful rushing attack. But like I said, before we get into, like, I think Wentz played a really good game. Wasn't perfect. Certainly that shuffle pass was a very big, like, what the fuck, like, moment. And great play by Troy Reader, who, I said this on Twitter, you know, the first 90 yards of the field, he is not a good pass defender, but get him on the goal line, the dude turns into Deion Sanders. He's always making fast pass defense plays on the goal line for some reason. But I think Wentz played his ass off, man. I think he played a really solid game, and he really took it to us with his legs, with his arm, you know. The safeties got a lot of slack for that bomb he had while getting drilled by Aaron Donald to Michael Pittman, but that was a great pass. It's a play that could have been defended, but I mean, listen, man, I give more credit to Wentz on that play than I do take things away from Fuller and Scott or whoever was covering him there. It was a good game by him, and I mean, if there's certainly things to be concerned about, but, you know, he's not Tom Brady, but Tom Brady is not making those plays with his legs next week. So, I mean, quick run through some of the positives on this game on defense. I didn't really notice Jalen Ramsey on the field at all for almost the entirety of this game. And as soon as Jacob Eason came in, certainly seemed like there was a reason for that. They were not looking his way. And Eason walks out on the field, throws a pass, and is immediately picked off. Ramsey had to have been seething when he threw that first pass. So credit to, clearly they game planned around him, but it was a solid game. You know, I mean, it must have been a solid game because we didn't really notice him.
Yeah, as far as Ramsey goes, I mean, he was out there, you know, doing his thing, and of course, Wentz isn't gonna, you know, pass the ball his way, and most quarterbacks don't, and that's one of the reasons why Wentz had a great game. I mean, other than the fact that he had a, you know, he looked like his old self out there, you know, which is good news for the Colts, considering he comes back soon. Aaron Donald likes to take out Wentz for some reason. But as far as the rest of the secondary goes, a bit of a concern, because obviously Ramsey's going to do his thing, but you can't give up the ball that much to, you know, guys like Pittman, who, you know, I think is promising. You know, he's certainly a promising young receiver, but, you know, he's not like a, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, or Antonio Brown, even. I would not put him up there. And I am a little concerned going into that game. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later, but yeah, I have to say I was a little bit concerned about the secondary, you know, just getting the ball out to Antonio Pitt, you know, to, I almost said Antonio Pittman.
Michael Pittman. Yeah. You're thinking of Antonio Michael. Gibson.
Yeah. I went that route. Antonio Pittman. But yeah, Michael Pittman. We can't give that up to Michael Pittman that often. That's not acceptable. And I think moving forward, the Rams will kind of address that, but not as much of a lockdown secondary as it was last year. And at least for the first two contests, I'm still a little bit concerned.
Yeah, I felt like they were kind of picking Darius Williams apart a little bit in this game. You know, I wouldn't say I'm concerned about him yet at all, but like you said, I mean, this is the best game of Michael Pittman's career. Like, it literally is. His previous career high was 101 yards. I feel like this might give me 1 second to look this up. I'm pretty sure this is his highest reception total in a game. It is by far, or not by far. Against Tennessee last year, he had 7 receptions for 101 yards. This game, he had 8 receptions for 123. It's the best game of his career. I think he's a promising young player, but he's promising and young, and he's not fully there yet. And, you know, Jack Doyle had a really solid game, too, in this game. So, you know, when you're giving up, like, pretty decent chunks of passing yardage to Carson Wentz, Michael Pittman, and Jack Doyle, and then next week you have Tom Brady, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, and Mike Evans, and Antonio Brown, it's certainly not, like, ideal. You know, Jalen Ramsey can't guard everybody. So I'm concerned about the pass defense as well. This was certainly not an encouraging performance. And I think we will have a better idea of who this pass defense is next week. If we come out to Tampa Bay and give up, you know, good chunks of yardage, but we make some plays, we get some turnovers, like, it is what it is. But, I mean, Tom Brady comes out there and throws for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. You know, I know it's Tom Brady. I know that's the best receiving core in the NFL, but you got to beat the best to be the best. So, I'm definitely concerned there. I absolutely am. And we'll see what happens next week before we fully sound the alarms. On like a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at a 5. And next week will be a real good test for that. the play people are talking about the most in this defensive game was Kenny Young getting ejected. Touch the official, man. That's gonna do it. I whether or not it was the right decision, they didn't really have a choice. I thought it was interesting. I guess Ernest Jones played a little bit after Young got ejected, but I did see a lot of one linebacker sets after that, and Troy Reader played a good chunk of this game. So, how'd you feel about the ejection? I mean, it was a boneheaded play, but it is what it is. I mean, it wasn't the craziest thing I've seen someone do.
No, it certainly wasn't the craziest, but I'm real happy with what I saw in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey going over to Kenny Young, basically letting him know, like, hey, man, this doesn't help our team any. And Aaron Donald is very familiar with, doing boneheaded things to get himself ejected. So I think it showed great leadership skills, and I think Kenny Young realized, you know, after his frustrations, you know, settled a bit. But yeah, he's got to be smarter than that, especially because it wasn't much contact, but it was enough to warrant an ejection. So, luckily for him, it didn't get any worse to where it needed to be a suspension. I mean, technically, he could still be suspended still, but it's from what I've heard from reports, it's leaning that he may face a fine, but that's about it. But it needs to be something he cannot do. It's very understandable to get frustrated in the game, especially when it was as close as it was, and seeing, you know, some success from, you know, different players. But you know, you can't do that. You really can't. And I could understand his frustration, especially because this is one of the better offensive lines he's ever going to play against this year, and at least on the regular season anyway. So yeah, very, very talented offensive line, and not seeing the success that he wants to. Yeah, he's going to get a little hot-headed, but he has to calm himself down and make sure he cools himself down for the better of the team. And, yeah, just not do anything stupid like that.
Yeah, and a suspension would be insane. It would be absolutely insane if he got suspended. It would be one of the most egregious suspensions I think I've ever seen. He clearly... heat of the moment, somebody touched him, he just shoved him off him. It was a reaction. I doubt he knew it was a ref. As it is, you know, it wasn't not like he went out of his way to shove the referee. He gets ejected. That's the rule. That's what should have happened. I think that's the end of it. Maybe he'll face a small fine. I can't imagine it be anything crazy.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We'll see. We'll see. You wanted to talk about the outside linebackers?
Yeah, so from what I understand, I'm still trying to find information on Justin Hollins, what his status is going to be. But last I heard, it looks like he may have a broken hand.
That's right.
I know Justin Lawler for sure has a broken hand. But the outside linebacker depth has already been kind of limited because, you know, guys like Obo Okoronkwo started off on the season on the IR.
As is tradition.
Yeah, that's like tradition, like Steve said. But Other than that, so you have Leonard Floyd. If Justin Hollins is indeed injured as badly as I think I saw, that's a big concern, because then you have Terrell Lewis, who will ultimately have to start at that point, and his injury history is not very favorable as well either. So then who do you have behind Terrell Lewis? Well, you'd have to go with the rookie, seventh round rookie, Chris Garrett, because Justin Lawler is not available, and that is considering Chris Garrett is able to come off the COVID list, because the last we saw of Chris Garrett, he was on the COVID list, hasn't come off just yet, but it seems like if there's no setback, he will come off this week. So that's not a lot of depth coming into this week's game. I'll see if I can dig up any more information about Justin Hollins.
I found it. So RamsWire looks like accidentally posted Justin Hollins broke his hand and not Justin Lawler. So I think he's good.
Okay.
So
that is good news then.
Yeah, very good news. But, I mean, your point still stands. It's already, you know, it's a position that we talked about as a position of need in the offseason, and they chose not to address it. And, I mean, to their credit, Justin Hollins played really well. You know, maybe they didn't need to. Would an outside linebacker have been a better pick than Tutu Atwell? Yes, it would have. But that's not the world we live in. So as long as Hollins is healthy, yeah, we will be fine. But it is paper thin. And I think if one of those guys were to go down, you're nervous about trusting Terrell Lewis and Chris Garrett, especially Chris Garrett. You know, I don't think he's ready yet, even though I'm happy he made the team. But, like, shit, man, yeah, they would have to make a move probably. And we traded our fourth-round pick for running back insurance. And, hey, to their credit, it might come in handy this week. But, yeah, man, I got a lot of thoughts about the Michelle trade, but I don't think that this week is the time for it. You got any other defensive thoughts here before we move on to the next game?
No, I think that wraps it up for this week.
Just want to let you know, Johnny, so that all of you can experience my pain and suffering. Before we started recording this podcast, the Lions game was entering the fourth quarter. I was down 11 in a fantasy matchup, and I lost by 0.75.
Oh, damn.
So we fall to 0-2 in that league. But listen, I'm doing pretty well in my other league, so I'm not going to sit here and groan too much. But we came very close. That was not ideal. Let's talk a little about Tampa Bay. You're going to get a preview pod from Derek and the boys later in the week. But this is obviously a very big matchup. We talked about, you know, in our preseason preview pods how, you know, the first five games here, Chicago, Indianapolis, Tampa, Arizona, Seattle, it's a tough start to the season. And, you know, we knew Chicago and Indy were probably going to be the weakest of the bunch. You know, Arizona, maybe too, but they look very good. We'll talk about them next week. But this is going to be a tough game, man. This is going to really, you know, we have had two wins, different calibers of wins, but they're both, I would say, hard-fought wins. The Rams brought it in both games this week. You know, it's Indianapolis. They're not the best team in the league, but like I said, I think they're in the top half of teams, and you go on the road in a East Coast time zone for a West Coast team, get a win, that's big. But Tampa Bay, this is the big boys, man. These are the real contenders here. Tampa Bay is the reigning champions. As we mentioned in the past, they brought back everybody. It's a lethal passing attack. They're top five in passing yards. They've thrown the most passing touchdowns in the league. They've scored the most touchdowns out of anyone in the league. They've had an elite running defense so far this year. But they're beatable. They barely beat the Cowboys in week one, who barely beat the Chargers in week two. And, you know, they kind of toasted the Falcons in the fourth quarter of this game. But they were losing, or if I'm doing my math right, no, they were up four going into the fourth quarter. So it's not like it was a total blowout against Atlanta. Atlanta, who, do you think Atlanta's good? Because I certainly don't.
No, no. I'm no, they haven't been.
It's the team that gave Cordarrelle Patterson 12 touches in 2021. But they won the game. They're 2-0, and you know they have Tom Brady in quarterback. Anyone doubting this team is an absolute fool. The big test, as we mentioned this entire podcast, is, you know, the Bucs running game is non-existent, and it hasn't mattered. And I don't think it's going to be that existent in this game. I'm sure they'll try and get it going a little bit. I'm not super concerned about Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. But you got Tom Brady, and you've got just weapons on weapons in the receiving core. I mean, as far as your top three receivers go, top four if you're including tight end, it doesn't get much better than Godwin, Evans, A.B., and Gronk. I mean, you're talking about two very good studs in or near their prime, depending on how you feel about Evans. You got a Hall of Famer in Antonio Brown, who's still really good. You got a Hall of Famer in Gronk, who's still really good. You have the best quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. This will be the test for this defense, and if they have a good performance here, we're going to be feeling really good about this team. If they win this game, we're going to be feeling really good about this team. Do you have enough faith in the secondary that they can do enough to give the offense a chance to win this game?
That's tough to answer, because I look back at last year when I had a lot more confidence in the secondary with, you know, Troy Hill and John Johnson and on the roster. And, you know, they did a solid job, you know, shutting down the receivers. Not completely, obviously, but they did a good enough job to win the game. I'm a little nervous, I'm not going to lie, because, you know, that's an absolutely stacked, you know, receiving core. And, you know, especially if you throw Gronk in the mix, and it's like, well, damn, you know, where do you place Jalen Ramsey at? And does it even matter? Because the receiver that Ramsey is covering, it's like, well, Tom Brady doesn't have to necessarily attack where Ramsey's covering. You have so many other options. And I'm, based on these past two performances, it's not looking good, particularly in the secondary. Not that they're trash or anything. They're not garbage or anything like that. You know, some people kind of get carried away, but certainly not the elite secondary that we saw last year. And I don't know if they can really, you know, cover this elite receiving unit. So personally, like, if you go back to the offseason predictions that Steve and I did, I actually have the Rams winning this game against the Bucks, and I think that they may still pull it off, but man, it's going to be a nail biter. I have a feeling it's going to be a nail biter. The offense needs to be completely on track, and defense has to get a few stops. Otherwise, my prediction is not coming true.
Yeah, you know, I'm still going to predict the Rams to win this game, because I had before the season 31-28. I'll keep it. Because I do think that the Bucs secondary has been attacked this year, and attacked well by Dak Prescott and Matt Ryan. Now, granted, even Matt Ryan at this point in his career is still a very good quarterback. Dak Prescott, I think, I have always been a Dak defender, if you listen to this podcast for a long time, and I feel validated as hell about it. And I think our offense will do enough to win this game. I really do. I think that Stafford gonna have a big chip on his shoulder going into this game, as he's had the whole season. I think he's gonna play a great game. think Kupp's going to eat. Think Woods is going to eat. But it's going to be a duel, and the defense is going to have to make some big plays. Now, you look at last year's game. It was obviously a weird game. It was one of the ugliest fourth quarters I've ever seen. Brady went 26 of 48 for 216 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Now, after this game, the Bucs went on a tear, and you know the rest is history. They won the Super Bowl. They haven't. You know, was this their last? So this was their second to last loss. They lost the next week to the Chiefs. They had a bye week. Haven't lost since. That was 10 games ago. They are like the receiving corps is unbelievable. Chris Godwin in two career games against the Rams, 19 catches for 225 yards and three touchdowns. He has brutalized us. Obviously, he destroyed us the game before Jalen Ramsey was here, and last year still had seven catches for 53 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Brown is there, man. He's good. And Gronk historically has also whooped our ass. It's going to be tough. It is going to be as big of a test as ever. I think Ramsey's going to bring it, but he's one guy. And as we saw in this week's game, you don't have to target. You can succeed in the passing game without targeting him. And the Colts did. And, like, I don't know, man. This is going to be a test. There's not really a lot to say. These are two great teams. You know where the holes are. They're both in the pass defense right now, and they're probably both going to be in the running game if Henderson doesn't play offensively. So it's going to be a dogfight, man. It's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch. But I still think the Rams win. I still think they win.
Well, let's put it this way. Like, I feel like if we kind of said this every week so far, that this is going to be a test for the Rams. This is the ultimate test, because this may very well be the most difficult game the Rams face all year long. I mean, debatable, because they still have some, you know, real tough teams along the way, and then we still haven't even played any of the NFC West matchups yet. And that's always fun.
And, let's be real. Given what we've seen this defense do, you know, with their personnel historically, I think Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, even though we did a really good job against both of them last year, those are the type of dudes that are going to give us fits more than Tom Brady. Even though, you know, it sounds like an insane thing to say, but Tom Brady cannot move. You know, like, he cannot leave the pocket. When he's in the pocket, he's going to be dangerous as hell. But if we could make it a tough day for him in the pocket, we could succeed even with all those weapons they have. Kyler Murray, it doesn't matter where he is on the field. Like, if you get him, if you break the pocket, he's still going to throw touchdowns.
Tom Brady doesn't like to be hit. He gets, I've never seen a quarterback that gets so pissed off.
Well, like, man, Tom I've Brady never does. Seen a 44-year-old quarterback, so.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't blame him. I'm 27 and I don't like getting hit.
Oh, I mean, who does? But, like, this guy, he doesn't bounce up and you know, get ready for the next play. No, he does a little bit of jawing to whoever hits him, and it's like, I've never actually seen that before. It's kind of hilarious. And you know that Aaron Donald is going to want to see that. So, I mean, he's done a hell of a job so far. He may not show it in the stat sheet, but Carson Wentz will tell you that Aaron Donald does hit hard.
Yes, he does. Well, are you still predicting a win for the Rams?
You know, I am. I'm gonna be honest though. I am not as confident as I was in the off season. Just given what I've seen from the secondary, because that's gonna determine if the Rams win this game or not. I feel like the Rams will get it done offensively. I'm very confident there. It's the defense, particularly the secondary, where I'm very concerned at. if they give Tom Brady even just a little bit of leeway, you know he's going to take advantage. So I'm still going to predict a victory here. It's just going to be very close, and which I predicted from the start. But
yeah, and I feel like the Bucks podcasters are giving the same exact thoughts on their podcast, although probably picking the Bucks to win. Just like, you give Matthew Stafford a little bit of inch, and he's gonna take advantage of it. Rams have won 6 of their last 7 matchups against the Bucks, which doesn't sound like a real thing.
It doesn't.
It really doesn't. But, like, you look back, man, like I said, like, last year we somehow beat them. Year before that we lost, but 2016, we had the game where we're throwing away the game, and then we got a hurricane, and then Jameis Winston crossed the line of scrimmage on the last play. Year before that, we had the nuclear Tavon Austin color rush game. and then, yeah, somehow they won in 2012, 2013, and 2014. I don't even remember. So that's fun. That's fun. All right. I mean, you got any parting thoughts here before you go? Anything we missed?
I was going to give a shout out to Brian Allen again, but I felt like we talked enough about him. So
he deserves it. We have been dragging that dude for 3 years.
That's true.
He deserves a victory lap. If anyone knows Brian Allen, tell him he could come on the podcast and berate us for an hour and we'll take it. Because, I mean, we deserve it.
I mean, honestly, I would tune in for that for sure. I would love to see him just clown on us.
I stand by everything I said. I have no regrets in any of these takes. I still think they should have drafted a center. I mean, clearly, they're not using the guy they picked. But I'm happy to see him succeed. I wish it was 2 years ago, but I'm happy better late than ever, man. Good to see him winning.
Yeah, I mean, he's winning for us now, so what more can you ask for?
Yep, we'll take it. I always want anyone on this team to succeed, with the possible exception of Jared Cook, but another topic for another day. we'll be back next week, hopefully, with a 3-0 start, and if not, we're going to be fine. Follow us on Twitter at CRibero, at Johnny596, at Talk Rams. Follow the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Give us a 5-star review, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?